Hello and welcome to the first of many verse-by-verse Bible teachings that this business ministry is going to put out. Today we are going to begin our business and our ministry, beginning with the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John was actually, even though it's we find it in the beginning of the New Testament, it was actually the second to the last book written in the entire New Testament, second only to Revelation, also authored by the disciple John. And John wrote his gospel last and late, and it was written to strengthen the church at the time. You see, the church now, somewhere in the neighborhood of AD 90, has already undergone so many changes. Most of the first generation of church has passed away. The destruction of Jerusalem has already taken place. The disbursement of the Christians, the persecution, all this has gone on or is going on at the time of this writing. And many thought Christ was going to return already by this point in history. And John, reading the signs and being led by the Holy Spirit, realized that the Lord is not going to be returning anytime soon. And so he wrote this book. He omits a lot of things out of it that you'll find in the other synoptic gospels. And he does this because he's writing this book, this gospel, to give for the long haul. He wants the church to be prepared for the long wait that is in their future. And so he writes this gospel. And we're going to get right into it because this is a verse-by-verse Bible ministry, and we're going to focus mostly on the Word of God as often and as pure as we possibly can. Beginning in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, we read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it." We're going to stop right there. And the reason I chose the Gospel of John as the very first study of this ministry is because of verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. That alone is the crux of all that this ministry stands for. Here at the Wash and Word, we are committed first and foremost to the Word of God. You see, we believe that the Word of God is the only thing in this entire world that can be trusted, and trusted explicitly. It is the only thing that remains true, true to itself, and true to its, well, to its Word. You see, I chose this book because of verse 1. Not only is the Word of God true, and not only is the Word of God unchanging and trustworthy, but the Word of God is also God. You see, it's not just God's Word. It's not just God's revelation to mankind. It isn't just God's love letter giving us suggestions and instructions on how to live. No, it is all of those things, but I chose this book because of verse 1, and that is that the Word is God. It is more than an extension of God, more than a written character of God. The Word is God. Now you may ask, what do you mean? What are you trying to say? What do you mean by the Word is God? How can letters that are formed into words, that are formed into sentences, be the almighty, all-powerful, all-creating God Himself? And how can, according to verse 1, God be and also be with? As we read in verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." How can He be and be with at the same time? Well, I will answer that with this. God can be something at the same time that He is something else, while also being together with each thing while accompanying all of those. And you say, huh? To which I reply, honestly, I don't know. I think I just confused myself a little bit. Hold on. Let's repeat that. God can be something at the same time he is something else, while also being together with each thing while accompanying all of those. Truthfully, I can't clearly explain this to you. In fact, I can clearly explain it to you as well as I can explain the Trinity. How God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit at the same time be the same yet be different. So what I'm about to say might actually sound like a disclaimer or a cop-out, especially since it's being proclaimed in the first 5 minutes of this ministry. But believe it or not, there are some things related to the heavenly and spiritual realm that we are simply not meant to, or even capable of, understanding. And I believe that this is no accident, that God did this deliberately, and he did it for our sake, for our benefit. You see, if we could completely understand God and all of the spiritual concepts that go along with him, then we would be devoid of an opportunity for faith. There would be no chance to exhibit faith. And why is faith such an important aspect of a relationship with God, you might wonder? Because, simply put, you cannot please God without it. In fact, Hebrews 11:1 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, we'll take a closer look at what it means to have faith as we proceed through his word and in verse-by-verse format. That's the one thing I like about verse-by-verse format is we're bound to cover it again. In fact, we're bound to cover everything. His word completely covers every aspect of life, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And we will hit every single bit of it, and I'll back down from none of it. Now, I'd like to go back to verse 1 and look at how the word is God. The Bible says two very interesting things about God's name. Number one, the Bible says that there is no other name above the name of God. Philippians 2:9 says, God exalted Jesus to the highest place and gave him, Jesus, the name that is above every name. And in Psalm 138, verse 2, God says, for you have exalted your word above all your name. And so, with those two scriptures, we see that God holds his word above his own name. He holds his word in higher esteem than his name. And yet, as we read in Philippians, that name, Jesus, the word, is a name that is above every other name, yet the word is above even that. You say, well, how can God hold his word, which is his name, above his own name? Well, I think the better question is why? Why would God hold his word over his name, over his works, over his miracles and his character and his revelation and his history and all of it? Because again, back to verse 1, in the beginning. You see, this is an exact copy of the very beginning of the Bible. In the beginning, God created. In the beginning was the Word. And as much as we have focused on verse 1 thus far, let us look forward again now to verse 2. And see, it says here that he was with God in the beginning. So what God does here in verse 2 is he personifies the Word and he exalts it above himself, while at the same time almost subjecting himself to that very Word. He was with God in the beginning. He. Well, who is he? Well, at the risk of sounding like an Abbott and Costello routine, and Also, at the risk of exposing my age by using an Abbott and Costello reference, the he in verse 2 is the him in verse 3, and it's almost like he is on first, him is on second, who's on third, well, they is on third, well, then who's pitching? It's all of them. Look at verse 2 and 3 together. It says that he was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. See, let me bring this part of the message to its crux, because I know it can be confusing. I'm doing everything I can not to confuse myself. But to the very foundation of this ministry, we see what is taking place here, and that is that the he, the him, the they, or the all, is Jesus. Jesus. Now, I don't know what God plans on doing with this crazy idea of a business ministry that he's given me and my wife, Victoria. But one thing you had better believe is that you are going to hear the name of Jesus often in these teachings. And why is that? Because of what we just read. The Word is Jesus. And in verse 14, which we'll get to in the days to come, it says that the Word, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus, the Word of God, became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, I am really not that good at math. But there is an equation here that is sort of formed in these first few verses. God holds his word in the highest esteem. And rereading now verses 4 and 5, it says that in him was life, and that life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. So God, through his word, created and sustains all things. And that word became flesh and called himself Jesus. So the mathematical equation here is that the Almighty Creator plus all things created equals Jesus. Jesus, the Word personified. Jesus, the Creator and Sustainer of all things. Jesus, the name above all names. Jesus, the Word of God. Yes, Jesus is the Word. And this is a verse-by-verse ministry. Or we can translate that as a Jesus-by-Jesus ministry. And by that I mean that this whole entire book was written by, for, and about Jesus. You can find Jesus on every single page of every single chapter of this Bible. So get used to hearing that name if you plan on frequenting this website or coming to the car wash. Jesus, the name above all names. And like Paul said in Romans chapter 1 verse 16, I am not ashamed of his name. Jesus, the hope of all mankind. Jesus, the Savior of the world. Jesus, God. Whoa, I hear you out there. You're saying, wait a minute, slow down there, preacher. What do you mean, Jesus, God? Okay, Jesus, the hope of the world, I can accept that. Jesus, the Savior, sure. But Jesus, God, as in equal to? Well, actually, no. Not equal to. Jesus is not just equal to God. Jesus, as in God himself. Make no mistake, and let me be clear from the outset of this ministry, Jesus is not just the Son of God. He's not just a Son of God. He's not just a prophet. He's not just a preacher or a good man or a good teacher. Yes, he is all of these things, but Jesus in his purest form is God. God in the flesh. God incarnate. And you see, this one fact is what separates true believers from false teachers and false religions that are literally plaguing our world today. And let me just say also that your response to the following question on this side of heaven determines which side of heaven you will wind up on when you die. And that question is simply this: who do you say Jesus is? You see, that is the most important question you will ever be asked. And Jesus asked his disciples that very question. In Matthew 16:15, he narrows it down to Peter and he says, "But what about you? Who do you say that I am?" And please believe me when I tell you that he will ask each and every one of us that very same question personally when we die. When we stand before a holy God, a righteous God, and we face judgment, and we all will, and you will have to give an account for the things that you said and that you did, what are you going to say when they say to ask you, "Who did you say Jesus is?" Well, I tell you, you better get your answer squared away now, because whether you know it or not, you have already answered that question in your heart. And you cannot change your answer at the judgment seat. In the beginning of this message, I told you that there are some things that we just cannot comprehend about the infinite, because we are created with finite minds. There are some things that are just beyond our understanding. And so maybe today you're saying in your heart that you want to believe that Jesus is God. And let me just make something else clear. You cannot become a child of God. You cannot become born again. You cannot secure your place in eternity with fellowship with God unless you believe that Jesus is God. He cannot simply be Jesus the prophet and get you into heaven. Jesus the prophet can't get you into heaven. Jesus the teacher, Jesus the offspring of God, will not get you into heaven. The Bible is clear that only God can forgive sins. So Jesus came as God to forgive you and me and the world of their sins. So we must get past this block that Jesus is not God himself. We have to get past the fact that we can't accept Jesus as God come in the flesh. And so if your heart wants to believe that Jesus is God and he is fully God and fully man, but for some reason your mind is hindering your heart, this is where faith kicks in. This is that same faith that we read earlier in Hebrews that is mandatory to please God. And if you're struggling to believe this one all-important truth that Jesus is God, and not just his son or a son, but God himself, then I implore you to exercise that tiniest seed of faith that we all have. Romans 12:3 says, "To think of yourself with sober judgment in according with the faith that God has distributed to each of you." Do you understand? To each of you. We all have a measure of faith. And that is all you need, by the way, is just a measure. Matthew 17:20 talks about having just a mustard seed size of faith. A faith, by the way, as we just read in Romans 12:3, every single one of us has. So if you're having trouble with your mind and believing, or maybe the other way around, and your heart believes, but your heart just simply won't, you've got to exercise that faith. Romans 10:9-10 says, "If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess and are saved." You see, your heart and your mind have to work in conjunction, and if one of them is holding you back, this is where faith steps in. And if you're not there yet, please, I implore you, continue to come back to the car wash or to the website and keep listening, because you are going to hear the name of Jesus often and loudly and proudly, because He is the Word. He is God, and He is in every verse and on every page and in every letter of this Bible. And it is my intention and it is my heart to go over every single verse that is in it. And I want to leave nothing out, and I want to exalt the amazing name of Jesus Christ, the name above all things. Because again, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We invite you to continue to come by, whether you want to stay and get your car washed or just hang out in the parking lot and listen to the messages. There'll be a new one each day. They'll run about 20 minutes long. And with that, we will close. Thank you for coming out. Thank you for listening. And may you be blessed by the words you have heard. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you and have a great day.